Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Hallelujah. You're welcome in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. And this is your season. You are going to go straight into the Word of God. But I want to ask that you would begin to speak to God and ask for an encounter by the Word of God. I want you to ask the Lord for an encounter by the Word of God. In the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, O God. Blessed be your name, O God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for entrance into your word. Thank you, Father, for entrance into your word. We honor you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you because you have given us access. You have given us access into your word. We thank you, Father, because your word is open to us. We thank you, Father, because your word is open to us. Your word is not closed. The book of the law is not closed to us. Hallelujah. Glory. Mambra shalade ko zorabada letor. We thank you, Father, for access. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for access. In the name of Jesus, access into the word of God. And we give you glory because we know your word is doing someone good today. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go ahead and bless him for 1 minute. Go ahead and bless him for 1 minute. Praise God. Labra shatala dabasakatari dabalakatolo. We give you glory in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Unto you shall the gathering of the people be. And we thank you, Lord, because you are causing great light and understanding to be released to us as we sit under the authority of your word. We thank you, Lord, because you are causing great light and illumination to be released to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. We are going to get straight down into the business of the day. If you are watching us on Facebook or on YouTube, please go ahead and share this broadcast. Okay, and you can send this link also to your friends so that they can join him. Because I'm going to be talking about something, you know, as usual, spicy. So I want you to get your notes, and I'm going to be talking about something that is a major, you know, thing for us at church. And I believe that this is going to bless you so much. So this message is titled, Understanding the Technical Aspects of Prayer. Understanding the Technical Aspects of Prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, I want you to say to yourself, I am a child of the Word of God. I am a child of the Word of God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I love the Word of God. I love the Gospels. I love the teachings of Apostle Paul. I love every part of the Bible because it reveals Christ. Praise God. So when you are in a meeting like this, you have an opportunity to also learn one or two things if you would open your mind. So I want to quickly read. I'm going to read a number of scriptures. And I want you to please take your notes and I want you to follow me as I read. Now, look very carefully with me in John chapter 1, and verse 11 to 13. John chapter 1 from verse 11 to 13. Look at this scripture. He came unto his own, and his own who received him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12. But as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. These ones which are born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Praise God. Now I want you to say to yourself again, I am born of the will of God, and I am a child of the word of God. I want to read another scripture to you in 1 John chapter 5, 13 and 14. 1 John chapter 5, from verse 13 and 14. He said, these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, which is Jesus, that you may know that you have eternal life. You are not going to have it. You are not going to experience it. You already have it. And that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Praise God. Look at verse 14. Now, this is a continuation of verse 13. The moment you believe that you have been given eternal life, the moment you believe in your spirit, in your heart, that when you came to Jesus, you became part of God's family, and that you received life in your spirit, God is saying that this knowledge of this life, this knowledge of eternal life, is the confidence that we have in Him. Praise God. This knowledge that we belong to God, this knowledge that we are not bastards, we are children of the kingdom, this knowledge is what makes us know that if we ask anything according to his will or his divine intention, he heareth us. Praise God. Now, I want to talk about the technical aspects of prayer. And I want you to stay with me here. Because I'm going to show you a few things. Possibly the reason why you've not been getting answers to your prayers. Maybe I'm going to talk about it today. Now, I want you to put this down. One of the purposes or the goals of prayer is to bring peace into your life. One of the major purposes of prayer is to bring peace. And when I mean peace, I'm talking about the shalom of God. What I'm saying here is that the peace of God here talks about the will of God. It talks about the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I'm not talking about something that is just really, you know, you feel like eating pizza pepperoni, and you just, you know, pray about it. I'm talking about serious things here. Amen. If you want pizza, you just go over there and, you know, to this shop there and pick it up. But we are talking about prayers. Prayers is one of God's divine tools given to man to bring peace. The will of God, the shalom of God, the kingdom of God into our lives. So when you see a person that doesn't like prayer, what I have noticed, and I want you to please note this. Please, what I'm about to say now, I want you to note this. People who are not given to prayers are many times victims of their own emotions. Hallelujah. I said I have noticed that many times, those who will not make out time to pray are usually victims of their own emotions. And there is something about your emotions, when they are not under the control of the Holy Spirit, they can become tools for manipulation, they can become tools through which witchcraft begins to operate, your emotions can become a tool in the hands of the enemy to enslave you, such that regardless of what the word of God says, you are going to be having a different experience. Your emotions are indeed that powerful. Praise God. Your emotions are very powerful, and you need to give attention to them. So prayer brings peace, and peace brings stability. Praise God. Peace brings to every time there's peace. Have you ever noticed that every time you are at peace in your life, everything just seems to be stable? There's this stability that comes from the place of prayer when peace is produced. Praise God. Now, I also want to say something here that is very fundamental. I may not be able to totally address this here, but I want you to please get it. Number one, when we pray to God, what we are actually saying to God is, let your will be done on earth, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth. So the formation of prayer is such that every time I cry out to God, what I'm actually saying to him is, there is turmoil in this area because your kingdom is not there. Now let your kingdom come to this area of my life. Let your kingdom come into my marriage. Let your kingdom come into my business. Let your kingdom come into my life. And one of the elements of God's kingdom in any place or in any situation is that it becomes very easy to trust the Lord. You are able to trust the Lord. You are able to yield to him. You are able to say, well, God has said it, and I believe it, and that settles it. Now, this is not the same thing as being optimistic. There are many people that confuse faith with optimism. No. The difference between faith and optimism is that faith is born by revelation. He said, for faith cometh by the hearing, and the hearing of God's word. So when a natural man has faith, it is actually optimism. Optimism is not a bad thing, but faith is born by the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, so you need to understand this, that when you are praying, you need to understand that what you are actually trying to do is that you are asking God's kingdom to come, and you are asking his will to be done. So prayer is not really a tool for manipulation, trying to get your way, or trying to have your way by force. Now I want you to please note this, because if you define prayer from your own context, the chances are that you are going to be having a lot of challenges, or what on the street we call bass bows. You know, you are going to be having a lot of prayer somersault. You are going to be having a lot of frustration. But when you understand God's perspective to prayer, you are able to execute that agenda, because you know that at the end of the day, it is the will of the Lord that will stand. Praise God. I wish someone was hearing me now. Now, there are people that should be hearing this now, but they are not here. They are not here. You see, like I said, if you are not given to prayers, the chances that you will be a slave of your emotions are very high, very, very high. So if God says to me that I'm going to bless you, I'm going to move you into this new level and all, I believe God's word. It doesn't matter what the doctor said. I believe God's word. So until you are able to believe God's word above the report of man, faith has not been born. It's just like it's either this or that. Now, I also want to say this to you, and I want you to write it down. When we execute prayers, we use the name of Jesus. Now, I want to correct something very briefly, quickly. And this is something that you will hear a lot, even when you listen to people pray. You are most likely going to hear this a lot. You will hear things like, Father, all these things we ask from you through Jesus Christ our Lord. And everybody will say, Amen. That suggests that maybe that person is praying a humble prayer. Oh Father, we ask that you will hear our request because of Jesus Christ our Lord. And everybody will shout Amen. Now that sounds like a humble prayer, but as far as the scriptures are concerned, you have negated one of the rules of prayer. Now I want you to listen to me, and maybe one of these Sundays I will come back and I will address this, because a lot of things that we call prayer, when they are tested in the realm of the spirit, they fail. You don't come to God and say, because of Jesus Christ our Lord. That is not how to use the name of Jesus. You are using the name of Jesus in a wrong way. Now, when Jesus gave us his name and said, in my name you will cast out demons, in my name you will lay hands on the sick, in that statement is a legal term. And please, I want you to hear me and I want you to write it down. When he said, in my name you will cast out devils, what he was saying is that my name has been given to you. It's a legal term. It's what in law you call the power of attorney. And what is the power of attorney? The power of attorney is a written authorization. I'm going to read it because I had to write it down. It's a written authorization to represent or act on another's behalf in his private matters, business, or any other legal matter. The person authorizing the other to act is the principal or the grantor or the donor. So when I say in the name of Jesus, I am not saying because of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am not saying, oh, through the mercies of our Lord Jesus Christ. What I am saying is that I am acting on behalf and in the authority of the name of Jesus. When Jesus left the earth and went back to heaven, he kept us here to act on his to act in his stead. Oh, now come on. I wish somebody will hear me. When you go to court, you get a lawyer who represents you. That lawyer, anything he says, is taken as though he's speaking on your behalf. Your lordship, we want to ask that you would grant temper justice with mercy. We ask for a review of this case, of this trial, and whatever. Our lawyers here will understand this better. So there is something that is known as the power of attorney. That is why even sometimes when we cast out devils, we don't say in Jesus' name all the time. Because it is not necessarily saying in Jesus' name that makes the name effective. It is our understanding of the power of attorney and the fact that we live under the authority of that name and what it represents that makes the name effective. Come on. Oh my God, I wish somebody will hear me now. So many people are doing this and they are making sincere mistakes. They are making sincere mistakes. It's not their fault, but now you are hearing this. There is something that is called the power of attorney. The power, the authority to act in my stead, to act on my behalf. So Jesus knew that when he left this place, the wolves were going to come. The hyenas were going to come. People will come out and they will try to shred his disciples. So he gave them the same power he had. This is the same power that he had. The power that he received from his Father. And he said, look, every time you operate in this name, you are acting as though I am there. You are representing me. This is why many prayers, this is a technical aspect of prayer that many do not grasp. Because of that, they are begging God to answer them. Hey! A lot of people are begging God, God, if you would just help me, I am tired. I'm tired of praying. I don't know what to do anymore. Please, Lord, help me through Jesus our Lord. You don't get it. You are not getting it. It is the power of attorney, the ability, the authority to act in his stead. That means for prayer to be effective, you are executing divine mandate
on the earth on behalf of the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now I want you to put this down in your note. Prayer is how we engage in the courts of heaven. Prayer is how we engage. Many times you hear things like, let's go to the court of heaven, let's begin to declare prophetically. What you are saying is that you want to present a case. You want to make an appeal in the court of heaven. Some people don't know there's anything as the court of heaven. You find that very clearly in the story or in the case of Job. Job's matter was presented at the court of heaven. I wish somebody is hearing me. Is this making sense to somebody? Please, if it's making sense, you just type something. I need to be sure that I'm not alone by myself here, because I need to kill some ancient devils. I need to kill some ancient devils and send them packing. I'm telling you. So there is such a thing as the courts of heaven. That is where cases are presented. In fact, if you read the book of Revelation, the scripture also speaks again about that court. It says, Satan, who is the accuser of the brethren? Okay? Because in every court, somebody brings the accusation. I think you have a defendant, you have, you know them all, you know, the prosecutor, you have the defendant, you know them. I'm not a lawyer, but I try to watch some of these things. Okay? So, the devil was labeled in the book of Revelation as the accuser of the brethren. He is the accuser of the brethren. So, he brings your matter to court and says that, look, this guy must be sent to spiritual prison. This lady must not be allowed to have a child, because her great-grandmother did something like this 300 years ago. And because of the connection in the bloodline, somebody has to pay. So when you go to the hospital, the doctor is seeing all kinds of things. They say there's one pain at your back, that's why you can't have children. They begin to tell you all kinds of stuff. I mean, the doctor is supposed to see something. But I am telling you that some of the challenges, for instance, I talk about near success syndrome. You have some of these things that we deal with right now, okay? And sometimes you just find that there are people that they are trying to do stuff. They've applied for this, they've applied for that. Shortly, just before the miracle happened, they have a kind of disappointment. Oh, they get this kind of phone call. They get this kind of... Some people have some kind of dreams. And once they have those kind of dreams, that particular thing will not pull through anymore. Yeah? There are people that I've had to minister to who, once they are pregnant, they would have this strange dream of some guy trying to manipulate them sexually. And when they wake up, the pregnancy is gone. It's gone. And please, don't even think it's only Africa. Don't even think it's only Africa. This is happening in the US. It's happening in the UK. I don't know if somebody is listening to me. I've spoken to people who live abroad, and they are telling me things like, I'm attracting the wrong set of people, blah, blah, blah. You hear all kinds of stuff, and you're like, okay, but you are a white person. Are you supposed to have this kind of problem? So don't even think this is an African thing. So why do we go into the court of heaven? That's why I told you that prayer is simple, but it has a lot of technical aspects. If you don't master them, your case may be good. You may have a good case, but you will lose it on grounds of technicality. Oh my God, I wish somebody is hearing me now. Come on now. I mean, a lot of cases have been lost on the grounds of technicality. She must not be allowed to marry. Why should she marry? And then they ask you a question. Why do you want to marry? You say, Father, I want to marry because I don't want to commit fornication. That is a wrong reason to be married. When they are on your matter like that, that is one of the wrongest reasons. Father, my body is doing me one kind. The way I'm going now, I'm going to backslide if I don't marry. Excuse me. You are born by the spoken word. You are born of God by the blood of Jesus. Yeah, it's not fornication now. Come on now. What we are saying here is that when there is an accusation against you in the realm of the spirit, say, this guy must not be allowed to do well. for whatever reason that they have leveled against you. Just the way they leveled against Job and said Job is not a sincere worshiper. That's what Satan was saying. Job is not a sincere worshiper. The reason why he's going to church is because you are only hearing his prayer and you are blessing him. And this is the same accusation Satan is bringing against many believers today, that their worship is not sincere, their worship is not genuine, their worship is fake. But you don't know, you're sleeping. You watch Netflix and you sleep, and you even dream about the film. You even dream that you became the main actor in that film. Come on. Oh, this stuff's happening, man. Meanwhile, in the realm of the spirit, they have concluded your case that you are not a sincere worshiper. That was the every problem you saw in the life of Job was based on that accusation. If you know that Job really loves you, remove your hand. Let me deal with him. Let me deal with him. You just be saying you have followers. Give me chance. Give me one opportunity. Let me drill him. And when they drill Job, Job knew that, yes, this one is not a matter of Africa or America. This thing is real. But all of that happened in the courts of heaven. So understanding the power of attorney, understanding your who you are in Christ is very, very important. We know that we are born of the spoken word. We know that we are not products of the flesh. We know that we are not product of human mind. We are born of the will of God. We are born of the word of God. And we are persuaded of it, that there is nothing that is going to happen to our life except that which is ordained by the will of God. Hallelujah. We know. So we need to understand prayer so that we can learn how to engage in the court of heaven. So when they ask you, why should we let you marry? In the place of prayer, you'll be answering them. Because I want to fulfill my destiny in God. I want to work with my God-given partner for the advancement of the kingdom of God on earth. We want to, wherever you send us, we want to be part of kingdom activities. We want to win souls to Christ. We want to help the less privileged. We want to be God's hands to the less privileged. We want to be God's feet to go to where people are hurting. We want to be trustworthy couples on earth that God can count. You are presenting your case and say, this is why I must marry. Not because everybody is married. Come on, say covenant. Yes. I'm telling you how to build your case in the realm of faith. So sometimes you want to pray, you just realize that you can't just go in and just pray. You need to sit down and think properly. I'm going to come back to this on one of these Sundays and I'm going to address it. Now, the effectiveness, and I want you to please put this down. The effectiveness of your prayer lies in your understanding of spiritual authority. The effectiveness of your prayer lies in your understanding of spiritual authority. Hallelujah. And that's what I've been trying to explain to you. He said in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 to 20, he said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore. Oh my God. Go therefore. So because I have received power, Jesus said, now I authorize you to go therefore. The reason why we are doing what we're doing is because we've received a mandate that is backed up by scripture, when he said, all authority has been given to me, therefore go into the world and make disciples of all nations. Praise God. So if your prayer is going to be effective, it must be because your prayer has something to do with Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Please put that down. Your prayer must have some kind of connection between what God wants to achieve and what is actually going on in your life. Now, let me talk about, you see the word when Jesus said in Matthew 28, all power on heaven and earth has been given to me. The word power there is the word authority. Exousia. Okay? That's the word translated into power. Okay? Exousia. Oh, praise God. I wish I could get like 500 people to just listen to what I'm saying right now. I'm telling you. I can't tell you how many times I have to speak to people and they are weeping over
something that is really just avoidable.
Don't put your hope when transacting the place of prayer. You have to understand what you are doing. Because once you enter the place of prayer, you are already in the courtroom of heaven. At least somebody will understand this thing. Prayer is not that thing they do in your village. It's not that thing they do in your church. I don't even know the church you attend. Maybe service or prayer is not what you do. Prayer, you don't come into the court, the high court or the court of appeal, unprepared. Because many of us are asking for things that God has seen, that this thing is likely to destroy us. And God is saying no to it. And we are going to places and telling people, I don't know why I'm praying. And God is not answering me. God is answering you for your own good. He's not answering you for your own good. Now, that word exousia, let me give you a few meaning, you know, interpretation to that word. Exousia means the power of choice. The power of choice. Number two, it means the power to do as you please. Praise God. That's a very powerful one. So when you go into the court of heaven and Satan is saying, yes, because she committed an abortion 7 years ago, she must not be allowed to get married, then you will now bring your own case. Because one of the meanings of exousia is the liberty to do as you please. You now say, look, Satan, I did that thing, but that man who did that thing is dead. That woman that did that thing is dead. I am a child of God, and I am washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. And the word of the Lord says, who can lay a charge against God's elect? And because no man can lay charge against God's elect, I am free and exonerated from that accusation. It is an accusation, it will not stand in this court. And then the judge of the Almighty God will strike it out. He will strike it out. But when they accuse you in the court of heaven and they ask you to talk, and all you are doing is you are crying, how does that, we are not going to win any case in this court by crying. People come, that's what you do when you come and you cry and you don't even have a strong case. So we are talking about the liberty to do as you please. Let me see if I can get any other meaning. Yes, authority means, exousia means authority, the power of judicial decision. That means you have been graced with the authority, the power to make certain decisions in the realm of the spirit. Those are the things we call prophetic decree, prophetic declarations. But you know, for some of us here, because you are from Yoruba land or you come from some of these very interesting communities where people always speak positive words. In the Yoruba language, the original word for the left hand, you are not encouraged to use it. So, because they believe it has an evil connotation. So they tell you to say, I don't want to say it now because I know not everybody is Yoruba, but they now use a word that means the hand of peace. The hand of peace. That's what some people refer to as the left hand. The hand of peace. Because originally the word that is translated the left hand seems to have an evil connotation. So I'm not talking about religious hogwash here. I'm talking about something serious. Okay? Talking about the power of judicial decision. I'm talking about the authority to manage. The authority to manage. If I go into the authority to manage, I will have to go out of this message and begin to teach from Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. So this issue of authority, the issue of the courts of heaven, the issue of that I've shared to you about your identity, they are very strong technical aspects about prayer that we need to know. Now, when Jesus was leaving us in John chapter 17, he was praying and he gave us three things. He left us with three things. Number one, in John chapter 17 and verse 22, Jesus gave us his glory. He gave us his glory. I don't have so much time, I would have, you know, shown you those scriptures, but just write the scriptures down. John chapter 17, verse 22. Jesus gave us his glory. Okay? He gave us his glory. In John chapter 17 and verse 14, Jesus gave us he gave us his word. He gave us the word of God. He said, I've given them the word.
And also, like I read earlier to you, in John chapter 17, number 6, he gave us his name. So in John chapter 17, Jesus gave us his name, he gave us his word, and he gave us his glory. Now put that down, because that's entirely another thing. Okay? Now, why are many prayers not answered? Okay, I want to show you why many prayers are not answered. Number one, your prayers must be based on the will of God. Otherwise, it will not be answered. And let me read that to you. Let me see if I can get that. Let me see if I can get that up here. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 4. I hope I can get that up here. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14. Okay, I think I must have written down. I'm going to get that scripture out, because 1 John 5, actually. 1 John 5. 1 John 5, which was what I was reading to us initially. Look at this scripture. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that he, according to his will, he heareth us. So this is a legal and a technical aspects in prayer. And I want you to please look at this very carefully. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying. That if we ask anything for it to be approved, God will only look at that request if that thing is covered in the budget. If that thing is not covered in the budget, that request will be denied. This is very, very foundational. And please, I want you to please listen to what I'm saying, so that you won't be going up and down and saying you've been praying and praying and praying. Many of us are still praying the same prayers we prayed when we are spiritual babies. We are praying prayers that even God is wondering, by now, my son, you should stop praying this kind of prayer. I mean, it was good for them, but I mean, you've grown up now. And listen to me. The kind of prayers a person prays tells you about his spiritual level. When you get to a level and you begin to pray, kingdom advancement prayers, you are moving to a new level. And that's why, you know, we hold this 6:30 to 7 a.m. prayer. It's a kingdom advancement prayer. We are praying for the expansion of God's kingdom on the earth. We are praying for the God's kingdom to expand through his church and use our local church, the Harvest, as a point of contact. It's not kingdom come prayers are not really about whether you are going to eat that money or not. It's about advance. We are praying for souls. We are praying for territories to open up. We are praying for the will of God to be done in the lives of people and for the oppression of Satan to stop. He said, if you ask anything according to his will, no devil on earth can stop that request. But if God has asked you to marry Abraham and you want to marry Chike by force, in fact, it is actually God's mercy to many of us that we went into relationships and they crashed, because those relationships were not covered in the will. They were not covered in the testament. They were not covered in the budget for that year. Though you are asking for things. How many of you have ever received things that you didn't pray for? But they were groundbreaking miracles because they were covered in the budget. Praise God. So this is very, very important. Okay? You need to check if the things you are actually praying about are things that God is interested in. I'm telling you. Because some of the things we talk about, they may actually make sense to us. But, you know, I remember when we were going to have our second child, and the pregnancy was so problematic, it was so challenging, you know, for my wife. And I was really concerned, seriously, because I just felt I needed to pray.
And I started praying about it. I didn't tell my wife, but I started praying about it. Then at some point, the Lord said to me, don't pray about this matter again. Now, please hear me clearly. I didn't ask you not to pray for your wife or your husband. What I said was, I was praying about it, and the Lord said, don't pray about it again. Because they say, when you can pray, and even as you are praying, all your remaining faith will disappear and leave you with fear and doubt. You know, so I didn't know. I mean, my wife was in pain, practically. That must have been like over 3 months. My wife was practically in pain. It was so problematic. And I didn't know what to do because I'm not a doctor. Okay? So I started to convert the prayers to thanksgiving. Father, I thank you because you touched my wife. Father, I thank you because it is well with my wife. I started doing all kinds of crazy things. And the Lord said, I told you not to talk about this issue again. Now, the real test of faith, the real evidence that I believe God's word, is to obey what he has said. But I realized that it's not easy to obey God. Because my wife is in pain. My people, will you believe it? That was how God solved that problem. The thing just went away like that. Once that thing is covered in the will of God, and the will of God is the revelation of God. The revelation of God is what God is saying to you now about that matter. Praise God. So I don't really understand those who pray or say that God talks to them and they don't write it down. The challenge with not writing down or finding a way to put down, maybe on your iPad or something, what God says to you, is that very soon you may be adding things to it or removing things from it that God didn't actually say. So it's important to document the way the thing came, just document it like that. Number two, so I gave you the first reason why prayers are not answered, is that people ask, when people pray outside the will of God. So when you pray outside the will of God, they bring the matter to the court of heaven. They just throw it out. It doesn't mean anything. And many people are suffering from this thing, and they are going from church to church, thinking that that's how the problem will be solved. No, you need to understand where God is operating from on that matter. Number two, in James chapter 4 and verse 3, and I want to show you that one. James chapter 4 and verse 3. Come on, James, where are you? James chapter 4 and verse 3. He said, you ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss. People are praying for the wrong things. Oh, Holy Father. Oh, Holy Father. Oh, if you do it now. Oh, Holy Father. I bind. I loose. I release. I bring down. I shake. I bounce. I do. You are asking amiss. I've been in prayer meetings when I was growing up as a believer, where we on the same matter, we bound and we also lose. I'm telling you, it's interesting. It took a man of God to explain to us that you cannot be binding and losing at the same time. What exactly do you want God to do? We were praying for a lady to be delivered. The girl was possessed. We bind the spirit of Asimodi. Some of you may not know that spirit now. You know, in those days, they were very popular. They've changed their names now. But way back, they were the kind of guys who were fighting. Looking back, that was like a very dangerous game, because you are in your house, your parents think you went to school, and you are in one small bush, casting out spirit of Asimode. It's a very dangerous spirit, so go and check it out. Asimode, A-S, don't let me give the spelling. You know, but it's a serious matter. Asimode, I'm telling you, it's a very powerful spirit. Don't worry. It's just chat me later if you need details. Oh my God. So people are praying for the wrong things. I'm telling you, we were in the same deliverance meeting. They asked us to deliver the sister. And me, I was saying, I bind, I bind, I bind. One other brother would say, I lose you, I lose you. Okay, the demon is now confused. Who am I going to listen to? Until the man of God said, in Jesus' name we have prayed. Now pray as you are instructed. Then the demon started listening, because even at some point, it's just like you are listening to the radio, you are not sure, is it 99.3, is it 99.2, everybody just acting weird and crazy. So if you are praying amiss, it means that you are praying for a Lamborghini when God wants to give you a Grand Cherokee. You are asking for the wrong thing. You are asking for a brother, or maybe the brother is praying for his sister. He wants to marry. He wants to get married to, and he's asking for a Yoruba girl, because Yoruba girl, their bride price is not so high, you know. Meanwhile, God's plan is for him to go to Oba in Anambra, where he will finish his money. You see what we're saying now? So praying amiss usually happens where there is something you are actually interested in. That's where it mostly happens. Where, you know, you already know that, okay, he's a chica from Anambra. Meanwhile, God is saying, go to Ayomide from Ogun State. You are praying off key. Thank you. It's like playing the keyboard in the church during praise worship, and you are just praying, playing off key. You make everybody angry, including the pastor. Everybody knows the pastor to be very gentle, but when you start playing that off key, he loses control. He starts screaming like he's mad. You know, because he's like, who is this guy? I mean, I went to preach in a church somewhere in Lagos, and there was this guy that sat on the keyboard and he was moving his hands like this. I said, wow, this guy must be a spirit person. So I took the microphone when it was time to preach. It was an headquarter church. Can you believe that? This guy sat on the keyboard and did his hands as though he was waiting for me to sing a song in the spirit. And then I just said, now give me this key. Give me this key. And the guy just shook his head. I thought he was still lost in his spirit. I said, come on, give me, get on the strings. Give me strings. And then somebody whispered to me, he doesn't know how to play keyboard. What are you doing? Will you get out of that seat? What are you doing there? You just confused the man of God. So if I force him now, he will go off key. And then all the remaining anointing will just dissipate. This issue of asking for the wrong thing. And please, I'm going to say something here to correct this one. So I want you to stay tuned. Number three is when you always ask for things to satisfy your lust. It's also in that James chapter 4 verse 3. He says you ask for things that you may consume them upon your lust. The only reason why some people want to blow or to be rich is just to prove that we can also make it. Listen to me, there have been rich people who lived before us. Some of them extremely rich, they were not born again. Some of them were even born again. They are dead now. We don't even know their names. If your own idea of God is faithful is that you have all the money in the world, you are most men most miserable. God, I mean, for Christ's sake, what are we going to do with that? So it's good to be rich. It's good to be rich, but you don't get it twisted. The moment your focus on is like, we are going to blow, we will show them that Jesus is Lord. Please just remove that Jesus from that statement, because everybody, including Satan, knows that the only reason why you want to be rich is because you want to consume it upon your lust. So we are not preaching gushy Christianity here. We are talking about the kingdom life. Praise God. Satisfy upon your lust. Your lust will always give your flesh power over your spirit. Your lust, all those things you have in your mind. Once I get to Dubai. Once I get to UK. Let me tell you, those places are boring. Just go to Antarctica. You and whoever is still there, you'll be checking Google together. Just go to Antarctica. You don't need to go to Dubai, because you want to use God to go to Dubai. Meanwhile, unbelievers are going there. You can't tell me this is just this is not God now. Just take some time before you pray. Evaluate your desires, evaluate your emotions, and bring it under the authority of God. This reason I am telling you is why many prayer warriors don't like reading the Bible. Many prayer warriors don't like the Bible, because it will always check them. I'm telling you. You may not know this thing. I'm telling you what I've seen. Very, very rarely you will see somebody that likes to study the Word of God. Many people who read the Bible, they don't like prayer. Many people who like prayer, they don't like the Bible. Both of them are going to be in trouble. Because the moment your lust begins to direct your affairs, you will not be able to trace it, because you are not even looking inside the Word of life. Your lusts will always give your flesh power over your spirit. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, the word of God says, the cares of this life will make a man unfruitful. Mark chapter 4, verse 18 to 19. He said, the cares of this life will make a man unfruitful in all his ways. There's nothing you do that God will find pleasing. You are unfruitful. You are like that tree that was unfruitful. You couldn't do any. God couldn't. There's no fruit. God cut the thing down. Number 4. Why many prayers are not answered? Because they are not offered in faith. They are not offered in faith. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23, he said, whatsoever we request for God, he said, we must believe that we have them before we see them. That is Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Faith is born out of God's word. You cannot be a prayer man. You cannot prosper in the things of prayer. You cannot prosper in the court of heaven if you are not a child of the word of God. Oh my God, I wish somebody heard that one. You cannot separate prayer and the word of God. You cannot. This is one of the mistakes people are making. They now bring weak cases to court. Weak cases. You go and see all those sons and all those very good lawyers. They don't say, oh, we've done that case before. You will see them the way they prepare before they come to court and they begin to marshal out their point. I hope many of you know that in the Bible, one of the names of Jesus is that he is our advocate. Come on, Jesus is our advocate. He is a lawyer. So you come to court, you come prepared. You come to the place of prayer, you come prepared. You shoot one prayer point, the heavens begin to move in your direction. Because you came prepared. Prayer is a technical thing. You just open your mouth and be rattling in tongues. It must be done in faith. For it to be done in faith, you must have a revelation from God's word about what you are about to ask for. Come on now, say I hear that one. You must have a revelation from God's word about the things you are talking about before you enter the place of prayer. Number 5, and I will stop here because of time. The prayer of many are not answered because of unforgiveness. I read to you Mark chapter 11, verse 23. If you read the next verse, verse 24, Mark 11, 24, Jesus immediately after teaching us about faith began to talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't know if you're a bishop, a president, it doesn't know if you are a man of God, if you are a pastor in Maryland, in Tennessee. It doesn't know if you're in Stanford. It doesn't care your phonetics. You might even be speaking Queen's English. You may be speaking, okay, can I have your number? You can be speaking through your nose. Listen to me. It doesn't matter who you are. In the court of heaven, if you are, he said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The issue of unforgiveness has rendered many cases useless in the court of appeal, in the high court of heaven, even before the case started. A believer, you cannot afford the pleasure of unforgiveness. You cannot afford it. I'm begging. You cannot afford it. It is dangerous. I'm telling you. Pastor said we should ask in faith. I ask in faith. Pastor said we should get a revelation of what we want to say. I've gotten the revelation. I know in my spirit that God wants me to move to this new level. I've checked my request. It is covered by the word of God. I'm not praying for an unbeliever. I want to marry a believer. I want to marry a man of God. Okay, but do you have unforgiveness in your heart? I'm not joking. I speak to people. They say, Pastor, my wife, very anointed, but you see that unforgiveness. My wife, she can keep malice for the universe. And there are people listening to me now, and they didn't forgive. They just put that unforgiveness in a box of forgetfulness. Let me not remember for now. The day you want to see their red eye, just talk about that situation. You will see the way their eyes will change. God says, look, listen to me. If there is any miracle you are getting now, if there is any benefit you think God has given to you, just know that thing could have been increased by 100% if you remove unforgiveness out of the equation. You can't afford it. It's so expensive. Because in the court of heaven, the major instrument that is used to declare a case in your favor is the blood of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And what the blood speaks is forgiveness. The blood of Jesus speaks mercy. The blood of Jesus speaks second chance. And you are here saying you cannot forgive. How do you want that case to fly? These are technical issues. That's why I titled the message, Understanding the Technical Aspects of Prayer. And this is just like an overview, actually. But it is good enough for you to sit down and begin to evaluate a lot of things. You can evaluate a lot of things and then say, okay, maybe I'm getting it wrong here. If I realize that my association with you will make me become offended, before I get there, I will cut off. Because there are some people, no matter what you do, you can never reason with them. This one I said now, I don't know who I'm helping. I said there are some people. They may be in your office, the person may be your wife, the person may be whatever. There are some people, no matter what you say, you can never reason with them. So in order to preserve and protect your spirit, get away from them so that you will not be hurt or offended. Oh my God, I wish somebody is blessed tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, say, I'm a child of the Word of God. I want you to declare, I'm a child of the Word of God. Oh, Baraka Tebe Kabaya. You cannot pray effectively without the Word of God. I am a child of the Word of God. My appetite, my areas of interest are in the revelation of God's Word. This generation, they will tell you not to just think that the Word of God is quotable quote and all of that. It is an insult to reduce a word from God like this to quotable quote. It's an insult. It's an insult because you need to hear the whole message. So this one is not snippets. You need to sit down and listen to the Word of God and allow it to change you from inside. There's nothing wrong with quotable quote and just telling you that, look, the spirit of the word, Jeremiah said, the spirit entered into me. Yeah, if you are doing snippet and quotable quote, the spirit can enter you. The spirit needs to enter you. The spirit of this message needs to enter you. And this message is on Facebook now, live. It's on YouTube now. It's on Mixlr now. So you can always go back to any of these places, download it, listen to it again, watch it, and pray for yourself. That's how your experience change. Don't be a spiritual prostitute. You just listen to a message and then you walk away. Don't be a spiritual prostitute. I mean, engage with the Word of God. Let it change you from inside. So that every time, you may not pray major prayers all the time, but any time you decide to pray about a matter, the devil knows he's in trouble. Because there is no way that prayer will not be answered. Because you understand the areas where that man always comes from, and you are prepared for him. You come to court and knock him off. The Lord bless this word in your heart in the name of Jesus. The Lord calls this word to prosper in your heart. The Lord calls this word to rest in your spirit, producing the harvest of 30, 60, 100 in the name of Jesus. And these words will not fall to the ground until the will of the Lord is done in your life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, thank you for coming in. If you are connecting on Mixlr, please go ahead and follow our channel so that you can always get updates whenever we pray. We're going to be around tomorrow morning, 6:30 to 7 a.m. on Mixlr. Please join in. There are many of us who have not been joining. Please join in. The prayers were set up for our benefit. Okay? Don't just... Some of you even go with your phone to the bedroom. Check in. Instagram in the bedroom. Meanwhile, you need to pray. Your matter is a prayer matter. Okay, so 6:30 tomorrow on Mixlr. Let us join in and be blessed. And again, we are going to be back on Friday evening. We are going to be praying and interceding, and we are going to be storming the gates of heaven. I want you to come ready on Friday. Prepare your case before you come 6 p.m. on Friday, so that when we begin to pray, you can execute divine justice. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, if you are also on Facebook, please go to Facebook on my page,
And please help us share this broadcast so a lot of people can get blessed and listen. I really don't need people to see my face. I just want to help as many people as possible. So the word of God has come forth. Please go, don't just like my pictures and whatever. Go to the place and share the video so other people can get blessed. The Lord bless you as you do so in the name of Jesus. I look forward to seeing you again on Friday, same time, 6 to 7 p.m. as we pray and we travel in the Spirit. God bless you. Have a great evening. And I release into your life the shalom of God. God bless you. Have a great evening and bye-bye. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you.